Hello, my name's Peter Stewart, and I'm come down to Harrogate this weekend to bring our Thistley Cross cider.
Cider and Scotland. Now, I don't normally associate these two things together.
That's a good point, but you know, Scotland makes a lot of world-famous booze. We're based just south of Edinburgh, very near to Dunbar, and we're on Belhaven Fruit Farm, which is next door to Belhaven Brewery, which is, you know, a lot of people associate the area of Belhaven with beer.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been?
I've been making cider commercially since 2006, and we established Thistley Cross on Belhaven Fruit Farm in the autumn of 2008. Mm-hmm. We sold our first bottle of Thistley Cross in May 2009, and we now sell to more than 30 countries, including 44 American states.
Was it something that you got into through being an amateur maker, or was it almost like a business decision that you had no knowledge of before?
Well, I was... the last time I was in Harrogate, actually, was at the big design show here, because I used to be a glassblower and work in a glassblowing studio. And my family are all engineers and bakers, and I was training to be an artist. So I'm very comfortable about designing products, making them, and then selling them. So, you know, it's a happy accident finding cider, and teaming up with Ian Rennie, who has Belhaven Fruit Farm. It was just a perfect pairing, and we've, you know, the company's gone from strength to strength ever since.
You mentioned the American market. Is that important, increasing?
The American market is phenomenal. The way that the industry is structured over there, it's all about point of difference. It's all about quality and innovation. So a restaurant, a pub, they're looking to differentiate themselves from their, you know, their neighbours, their competition. And to do that, they have to find interesting products to sell. Interesting food, interesting beers. And for what we do, we fit perfectly into that market. We're kind of like a niche within a niche within a niche. And so we've got very good distribution throughout America. And that's our biggest customer now, actually.
How many gallons or bottles or what do you think you make a year? I mean, it's not going to be it's not like that Bulmers. Certainly more of a...
I mean, we're still a small company, but last year we sold 750,000 litres, and this year we'll probably sell 1.2 million litres of cider.
I mean, sounds quite a lot.
It certainly feels like a lot as well.
Yes.
we're delighted about how things have gone, and... We make in the region of 9 or 10 ciders. There's 6 core ciders, so that literage is split across the whole Thistley Cross range.
Has it been a good year? I know certainly for apples it looks like a good year for us.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that. Mainland Europe's had a lot of trouble with the warmest July on record, and that's taken away a lot of the fruit. But, you know, us in the north, the apple harvest has done very well indeed. Mm-hmm. So it continues to do well, you know. In terms of the cider industry in the UK, it's becoming more competitive. It is very competitive and it's becoming more so. So, you know, I think what we'll concentrate on doing is just keep making our unique range of ciders and going out into the world and trying to find a market for it. You know, we're here, we'll come down to Harrogate, we'll come down to London, we'll try and find nice pubs and to sell a product in, but, you know, we don't want to compete with the big boys.
You have some samples to try, aren't you? So
yeah.
It'd be rude to refuse, wouldn't
it,
really?
That's right.
I prefer a dry cider. Uh-huh. I will say that. I mean, I'm not a fan particularly of the sweet ones.
Well, we're making cider in Scotland, and of course the Scots are famous for their sweet tooth, so I think you'll find that we have a range of ciders. Some perhaps are less sweet than what you might anticipate. For example, the strawberry cider, That's sweetened with real strawberries, hand-pressed on the apple press. So it's a natural level of sweetness.
Okay. Let's have a try then, and we'll see, because it's been convinced. Right, let's have a...
Making cider in Scotland. Yeah. The Scots understand cider to be imported from Sweden.
really?
So we wanted to show them what real fruit cider was about. And that has 2 points of difference to imported fruit cider. Firstly, it's got cider in it. And secondly, it's got fruit in it. So if you take in the aromas...
Yeah, and although I always say that it's ice first, isn't it?
Oh, that's true, yeah. Good point.
Ice first, yeah, and that's where... Although with cider, clearness is not necessarily an attribute, but we'll...
Uh-huh.
Yep, that smells fine. There's no... Yep.
Hopefully you're smelling lots of lovely real strawberry flavours there.
Wow. Do you know, I'm not a fan of my drinks mucked about with. But I'll tell you what... That is good. That's a strawberry cider.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. You've been rumbled. I wonder where you got to.
No, that's my wife in the background. As far as farmer. Do you know, that is really nice. And I'm not just saying that. Well, I would be. Yeah. You can taste the strawberries. It's not too sweet. It's alcoholic, which helps, I would imagine. Yeah. That's really nice. That's really nice. Would you like to try some of that, my love?
Well, you've sucked what was in the shot.
Well, I have. Yeah, but I'm not going to leave it at just that. I need something to compare it against.
Here we are. The other cider that really characterises what we do at Thistley Cross is we take our original cider. It's matured over 6 months, fermented over a month. So we take our time making it properly. But with this particular cider, we then lay it down in a whiskey cask.
Oh.
And we leave it for a year, and you're going to pick up lots of lovely honey and vanilla notes from the whiskey cask.
Yes.
And then there'll be a little bit of a spiritous bite there, and hopefully a very pleasant cider.
I'm going to taste this in a second. I see what you mean now about a niche, rather than trying to compete with Bulmers and the one from Ireland that I can't remember the name of now, that's not cider anyway. Wow. Go on, all right. Oh, I'll give a little bit of that. You're spot on. You can sense the whiskey, but you can sense the cider. That's a lovely blend.
Excellent.
Works really well.
Wow. That is fantastic.
Yeah. Now, I can buy some now.
That's true.
But where would listeners find this?
Well, in Harrogate, I know that we're stocked in the Harrogate Tap. We've got a couple of pubs in Harrogate that sell our cider, so keep your eyes open.
Okay. Online?
Oh, and of course, yes, we do have an online shop. I think because Yorkshire has such a strong tradition of good pubs that believe in good food, good hospitality, good booze, you know, we're finding our place as well. In Yorkshire, so you know, look out for Thistley Cross.
My name's David Etheridge, and the charity is Farming and Countryside Education.
Strange setup you've got here, just describe it for me.
Well, what we've got here is a model milking cow. This is Mabel, and she's one of the many things we take round to schools to try and encourage schools and children and teachers to make the link between farming and the food on their plate. And we run workshops, assemblies, school workshops. We also work with farmers to encourage them to accept visits from school groups onto working farms, not just the petting farms, which have their place in education, but children actually to see where their food is being produced and help them as they grow through the school years to begin to question where their food comes from and take sensible decisions, informed decisions about their food.
See, I come from a rural background and do sort of farming myself, and something my daughter does, and so we kind of think people do know where food comes from, but it's not always the case nowadays, is it?
It's not the case. Oddly enough, RSPB did some research 2 years ago, and they found that people in cities now are more aware of where their food comes from than those living in rural areas, because a lot of our rural populations are urban people who use their rural area as a dormitory. And so we work with both inner city schools and also more rural communities where there are schools that will invite us in, because we need to spread that message rural and urban.
Let's get down here, because my daughter Bridget, she's, if I come in the middle and you go to that side, she's kind of underneath the model cow milking. Now, Bridget, you've milked before because you've milked goats.
Yeah.
And how are you managing here?
Well, because I know how to milk goats and I know how to milk cows.
Okay, so tell me how you milk. What do you
do? What you do is you grab hold of one and you grab hold of the other, and then you go one.
So you kind of squeeze and
squeeze one and then you squeeze the other. Okay. Squeeze one.
Okay, is she sort of doing that kind of rightish?
She is. Normally you'd squeeze and pull. On a model you can get away with just squeezing, to be honest. Yeah. But squeeze and pull. And you take, on a cow has four udders, your goat has, four teats, your goat only has two, doesn't she? Yeah? So on a cow you'd milk alternate teats on that side, then you'd milk those teats, and then back to these. It'd take you about 20 minutes to milk a cow by hand.
And goats are, well, because we have to fetch them over, so that's quite a bit longer. And what's the most annoying thing about the goats, Bridger?
It's that they butt.
Well, they butt. And sometimes they kick the bucket over.
Uh-huh. Right? So do cows sometimes. If they're uncomfortable, when we use a milking machine, a cluster, it'll try and kick the cluster off. Mm-hmm. But a job of the dairyman is to make sure the cows are as comfortable and as relaxed as possible, because then the cow lets more milk down. And it's all about today about milk yields.
Whereabouts do you go? What school? What area do you cover?
I look after the River Tweed down to South Yorkshire, but I have eight colleagues, so we have a colleague in each region of the UK, and we all do similar work with schools.
Okay. And is there a website, people, or a number that schools can?
We've just launched a brand new web resource for schools called countrysideclassroom.org, and that will take you straight through to the web FACE website, with a whole raft of free resources for schools to use themselves.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll manoeuvre myself out the back of this cow, and then. Come on then, Bridget. Thank you very much.
Right, cheers.
Thank
nice you. To meet you.
Thank you. Well, we brought our mechanical horse along to let people see what Folly Foot Park Disabled Drivers Group do. We take children and adults with various disabilities and give them a chance to ride a horse. In the normal circumstances, they would ride a live horse for our disabled riding. But some people, because of the disability or because of the fear, don't want to get on a live horse, so we put them on our mechanical horse stand.
Mm-hmm. And what does that do? Is it a confidence building thing, or just?
Well, it is. Yes, most certainly. In a way, it's confidence building, but it also moves muscles. So people that, for instance, are in a wheelchair who never get the use of their legs because they don't walk, we can put them on a mechanical horse, and the movement of the horse actually assists the movement of their muscles. So it works for all sorts of different abilities.
Is it an expensive project to run?
Folly Foot Park Disabled Riding Group is a very expensive project to run, but we are very, very fortunate. The people of Harrogate and surrounding areas donate money to us, and we managed to stay alive. We've been going for, I think since 1986 we started, so we've been going a number of years, and we're very fortunate we use the horses from the Folly Foot Park Riding Centre, which are, if you like, well-behaved horses, so it allows us to put disabled people on them. And because of Julie and Chris at the riding centre allowing us to use these horses, we give something in the region of 3,300 rides a year. We ride 6 days a week, and we carriage drive 4 days a week.
That must take a huge amount of volunteers.
Volunteers is always the thing. We have on our books at the moment, in this moment in time, probably 168 volunteers, I think there was last count. But we have over 100 riders as well. You know, we're going out, we have 19 rides go out a week, which is quite a number. And for each ride, probably there are four people riding. For every person that rides, we have to have a leader, which is a horse person that can look after the horse. We have two side walkers, one on each side, to support them, and we have somebody doing the traffic, because we like to go out on the road, get people to have a look around.
What sort of disabilities are we talking about? Is it physical disabilities, or are we talking about people who are partially sighted, that kind of thing?
Any disability. We aren't really bothered. We don't really look at the disability, we look at the rider. People with cerebral palsy, blind people, we have people come from Henshaws, any disability at all. Horses are very good for people with autism, all along the spectrum. They are, if you like, they sit on a horse is very calm. Our horses aren't bothered if you make noise. You don't make noise, they're just not bothered. So it's a very soothing thing, is horse riding. So it's good. It's good. You see these people enjoying themselves? This young lady's enjoying herself up there?
Well, that's my daughter, you see.
Is it?
She's never been on a horse before. And I was interested to see how you would manage to persuade her to actually have a go. And I guess that would be the same if it was a person with a disability.
It is, yes, yeah. Yeah. Well, definitely, the people that come to us are coming to ride. They want to horse ride, or they want to try it. So it's not, if you like, somebody who's not wanted to go on a horse. So when they first come, they are willing to sit on the horse, but some don't like it to move. Yeah. And when it starts to move... Your daughter, did you say it?
Yeah, that's right.
Your daughter obviously enjoyed the movement of it. But it's we don't have a lot of trouble getting people on horses.
And your volunteers, I could see the way they were interacting with her. Very calm, just very natural, softly spoken.
Yes, very much so. If you look at the volunteers, they're here to do the job. They like to be here. And that makes a lot of difference. Somebody coming along and it is just a job. These people are trying to help, and that's a big thing. Yeah, volunteers. So, yeah, it's good.
Good job. All right, thank you very much. I'm going to have a chat with my daughter and track her down now.
Find her.
And find out what she thought about it, because she was clearly enjoying it. Anybody see where she went?
No.
I'm sure I'll find her. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bridget, so you've just come off that horse. What did you think?
It was really good.
Yeah. And what were the people like that were showing you and helping you?
Nice.
So what did they ask you to do, and what did they tell you to do?
They told me to just sit up and look at the horse's ears, so I wouldn't feel like I was going to fall off.